Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from our weekend service. We pray that as you listen, you will encounter the life and love of Jesus and be encouraged to experience what we've found to be the best life possible.
Music is a dynamic expression that's emotional and tangible. It's something you can sense. It's something that you engage in on a regular basis. That's why this series has such power and such connectivity in our life. You can sense it. You can feel it. The worship music that we engage in. Perhaps the right song can even pick you up through the end of a workout. Has anybody ever had that happen? Well, we're out of workout. But anyway, every once in a while. But anyway, you can be like wearing down, and then all of a sudden you turn on that some Rocky music or something comes along, and you're like, you know, it picks you up and you go, right? Music is powerful like that. It's motivating. It's dynamic. It's a tangible thing. Movies tap into the power of music all the time. We don't even recognize it. We don't even notice it most of the time. But they're just laying that underscore. They're telling us what to feel while they're showing us images. They're helping us understand what the emotion we're supposed to feel. There's a commercial on TV right now where the little baby is playing with the toy lion. Has anybody seen that? I think it's a Geico, or I don't know what commercial it is. Is it an insurance commercial? Amazon. Okay, yeah, my kid knows. All right. Anyway, yeah, so it's a commercial, and the little baby's playing with the lion, and the dog wants to play, but it doesn't want to play with the dog. And so they order the dog a little lion's mane, and it's like the cutest thing ever, right? And it's like you're weeping, and the dog just wants to play. You know? But the music sets it. Like, the images are powerful and dynamic, and the storyline's great, but if they had, happy, light, fun music, you'd be like, oh, that's cute. But they have this, sweet, vulnerable music playing, and it's like, oh, it just breaks you down, because the music sets that underscore. It speaks to us. It speaks to our hearts. It connects to the emotions that we experience. The mood is established. A change can be created by a key change or a quickened tempo. Music can change all of that. You're watching something happen, and does anybody have theme music in their head when they're walking? Just every once in a while, you know. It's got to be like a good beat. You know, like, you know, you're just walking along, you know. Anyway, careful. If there's a song playing and it's a good walking tempo for me, I might not stay with the group. I might just walk off. Just like, bam, yeah, I'm going. Yeah, this is good, you know. Anyway, but music can speak to us like that. It's dynamic. It connects with those emotions, whether it's joy and peace or happiness, but it can also connect with fear and with pain and with struggle. It does that. Like when you first got to drive by yourself. Anybody remember that moment when you first got to drive by yourself? It wasn't just about being in the car all by yourself. Is that you also had the radio too, didn't you? And you got to play whatever jam you wanted to play, as loud as you wanted to play it, right? Just, yeah. You know, it wasn't too long ago, was it? Yeah, okay. Yeah, and you put that jam in, and you're like, I'm driving. Yeah, you've been driving a while, but now, like, the music is jamming, it's your jam, and you're just cruising, it's cool. Yeah, it can just, like, amplify that moment. Or like when the team comes onto a field to start the game, they don't play a lullaby at that point. La, la, la. La, 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 here come the Eagles. La, 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 la. No, right? They're like, da, 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 da. You know, hard, loud, crazy, intense, right? Or like the lullaby that gently calms the sleeping baby. You don't play like speed metal when your baby's trying to go to sleep. And the baby's like, ah! You know, the music connects to those emotions. The feel of a song lines up just right with where you're at in the moment. That's when it really ministers to you. That's when it really grabs your heart. The song we're looking at today is a new song. We've been doing it on Wednesdays for a while. We haven't done it up here yet. But this song has ancient biblical roots. It begins with words that many of us probably thought yesterday or the day before. But also what was thought and felt 3,400 years ago. I just ended a 40-year journey last week. I turned 41. Just bang. It happened. And that I'm not just talking about my birthday. I do tend to talk about it. Sorry. It happens. But I ended a 40-year journey, and the people that this song begins, that it joins with their emotion, they had just ended a 40-year journey as well. They had been wandering through the wilderness. They had been waiting for God to give them the green light for the promises that they had been told and been shared with, but they were 40 years in waiting. I can relate to that terribly, terribly closely, because I can't imagine waiting my entire life to this point, that span of time, for such a promise, for something to happen, and being so close and not seeing it happen yet. But that's where they were. In Joshua chapter 6, all of Israel, including Joshua, had just finished a 40-year journey. A 40-year journey to get back to where they started, by the way. That's a frustrating journey. Making circles, wasting time. A lifetime of wandering for them. Joshua and Caleb were the only ones older than that situation that had survived that had been able to wait it out and be able to go back, because they got to go into the promised land. If you don't know the story, in Exodus and in Joshua's beginning story, we find that God had made a promise of a wonderful land that they were going to go into. They sent, the Israelites sent 12 spies to go in and check out the land. 10 of them came back and said, it's impossible, we can't do it. Joshua and Caleb said, let's do it because God said so. And they said, no, we're going to go with the 10 guys. And God said, okay, well, you go with those 10 guys and you wander out the desert for a while. And 40 years later, after all of them had died in the desert, there's a story right there. Oh my goodness. Do not miss out on what God is wanting to do. Do not forfeit it because of what you see. Trust what he has told you. Amen? So they missed out on the whole thing. And now 40 years later, Joshua and Caleb are stepping into the promised land that God had promised them long, long ago, a lifetime ago. An entire lifetime ago, they're walking in. These two mighty men and all of Israel waiting their whole lives for this. And in Joshua 6, they're told now that this impenetrable wall of Jericho stands between them and walking in. There's this city called Jericho. It's not only a geographic fortress with natural advantages of water supply and topography that are in its favor, but this was a man-made monster. This was an undefeatable city. The city had a wall about as tall as our roof and about as thick as one of our sections of chairs here. Why? You're talking rock. Rock. Solid rock wall. From the ground to the peak top of our building, from over here to over here. Solid rock wall around the city. That was before any tall buildings that we've seen in our day. That's like, that was unbelievable. It was undefeatable. And not even on top of the topography and the geography of it, that they had water resource that was accessible through springs and all sorts of whatever. They also had this wall built around it. And oh, by the way, all the people of the land felt that the gods of that region also defended that city too. So it's like, sorry, no entrance here. You're in trouble, guys. This is not going to happen. But God had a plan, and God said, hey, here's how we're going to do this. We're going to walk. That doesn't sound like a battle plan, does it? Let's take a walk. God has them walking because he has a plan that they're going to take this thing down. They're going to win this. So on top of all those things that they're seeing, God's battle plan for Joshua and Israel is simply to take a walk, to walk around the city for a week. Then do it again, and then do it 7 times that last day. 13 times around the invincible, undefeatable city. That's God's battle plan. And then, oh, by the way, yell at it. Now, you're laughing at me. You're like, this is stupid, Pastor. We all know what happens. We all get this story. But back up for a second and think about walking around a city with impenetrable walls, a city with walls that they say they race chariots on top of the walls. Huge. And there's no way in. And God says, tell you what, guys, let's walk around it and then yell at it. That does not sound like a battle plan. I'm no warrior, but that doesn't sound like a battle plan. Typically, wars are won through some fighting, not yelling, right? Ah! You know, it doesn't work usually. They just yell back. So they're not convinced, but they're being obedient. They're following through on this process. It's about 10 to 12 laps. Maybe we'll just guesstimating here. About 10 to 12 laps into that process around the city that our song today is found. Tired and concerned reality that you and I can both relate to, right? That God's made a promise. I'm doing what he said. But it doesn't feel like anything is happening. Anybody ever been there? I'm being obedient. I'm trusting with the word. I'm living this out, but I'm not seeing the results that I really would like to see just yet. It doesn't look like it's working. Has anybody ever felt there? Like God's far away and he's just got you doing busy work. But that's not the case. That's not the case. That's where we find this song. I know this is what I'm supposed to be doing, but is it working? Is it right? Is it worth it? When will I see results? When will this take effect? How's it going to go? What's it going to look like? When will I see it? You've been there, and I have too. Half frustrated, half still hoping and holding on, knowing the truth but wondering when it's going to play out. Some of King David's Psalms express the same thought. Like, I don't see this happening, God. Where are you? So after 40 years of wandering and waiting, now we are walking in a battle zone. Not running, not fighting. We are walking. Okay, Pastor, we get it. Now, typically when you're in a battle zone, you're not walking. You're ducking and covering. You're running. You're doing something action-centered. And this is, no, we're walking. And God's saying to do so, and so we're obedient. With doubt creeping in, fatigue wearing us down, about 12 laps in, this song expresses our heart. Check out the first verse of the song. It says this: walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall. But you've never failed me yet. That's got to minister to somebody's heart today. That's got to speak to us. And being pastor, I get the privilege of hearing the hardships of everyone. I often sometimes get to hear the good stuff too, but I definitely get to hear the bad stuff. And I absolutely understand that most of us, if not currently, it's recent, that we have been walking around some walls and we thought they'd have been fixed by now. They thought this would have been done by now. But we're still holding on. We're still believing that God's going to come through. We're still believing that he's never failed. He's never failed me yet. But man, it sure does look like he's a long ways away right now. That's where this song is written. Powerful, connective. That's why music is so connective with us, because it reaches right where we are in the words of this. You can sense the fear creeping in, the doubt, but resolving to hold on to the truth. The second verse says, or second part of the verse says, waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won, but you have never failed me yet. This hope for better and patience to wait, we believe and we know that it's certain, right? We're certain that God's going to show up. God's going to do it. We know that's the back of our mind. Maybe that's the foundation. But in the front of our mind, all we see is problems and ways this is going to go wrong, right? It's just realistic. I don't want to speak poor faith on you, but that's just realistic. It's where we are a lot of times, is we're not seeing what it is we're believing yet. We're hanging on. We're waiting for that moment. We're holding on. The next verse says that he knows the night won't last forever. In Psalm 30, verse 5, it says that weeping may endure for the night, but what? Joy comes in the morning, right? You know, all night long, this might be miserable for a while, for a season, for a situation, but joy comes in the morning. God's going to show up. God's going to be faithful. He's never failed me yet, amen? His word will come through. Mark 13:31 says, heaven and earth and friends and stuff will all fail before his word does. Right? We got to recognize that. We got to speak that. We got to proclaim that. We got to believe that. We got to live that out, that heaven and earth will pass away before God's word fails us. That every friend that we have might ditch us, but God is not going to ditch us. God is not going to fail us. If everything looks like it's falling apart, God will not do so. So he says this in the words of the song, say, I know the night won't last. Your word will come to pass. My heart will sing your praise again. We reassure and remind ourselves of what is temporary and what will last and what it's all about. It's all about him. My heart's going to sing your praise again, Lord. I don't feel like it today, right? I don't feel like it right now, but my heart's going to sing your praise again. I'm going to do this. We talked about that just a couple Wednesdays ago, right? She shared with us, God put a heart on her song. Sheila did. He said, God put a song on her heart, not a heart on her song, a song on her heart. And she's like, I don't want to sing that. I don't feel like that right now. But the Lord kept impressing her, and she started singing that out, and she saw God come through and be a reality and turned her perspective around. Because we've got to see what he's doing, not just what we're feeling like, right? That's where music can be dangerous, right? Because we select some music and some stuff that fits our mood instead of fixing our mood, right? I mean, I like the sound of blues. But man, I wish they'd just say something nice every once in a while. And I love it. I love this guitar solo. I love it. It's great. I love it. But good grief, how many times can your wife leave you, man? Like, seriously, say something. But oftentimes we'll select that and we'll feed that mood with the wrong type of music, right? We'll feed something that adds to that or endorses that or supports that instead of something like King David said, why so downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God. I got to turn this around, right? He's never going to fail me. So I know the night won't last. Your word will come to pass. I will sing your praise again. You're still enough, Jesus. Jesus, you're still enough. Keep me within your love. My heart will sing your praise again. This stanza cuts to the chase, doesn't it? Is Jesus enough or not? Well, why can't we have both? No, just back up a second. Is Jesus enough or not? Absolutely he is. But we've got to reconvince ourselves of that in the midst of wanting something else, right? Gosh, I really need this. And sometimes it's not just a want or a wish. Sometimes it's a need. It's, I need this rent. I need this food. I need something to go. I need this job. I need, fill in the blank, right? But we've got to trust that either Jesus is enough or he isn't. We've got to convince our hearts and realize the truth that Jesus is enough. It's not what I need him to do. It's not will he satisfy me or will that satisfy me or does he? It's Jesus only. Am I discouraged because of a lack of stuff or because of what he did for somebody else? Ooh, there's a good one. Do I get discouraged because of what God did for somebody else and it makes my heart bitter? It makes me frustrated. Well, look at them. What are they? Why can't I? Why can't you do that for me, God? What? And we start comparing, right? It's not about that. It's about, is Jesus enough or not? Is he what your heart is centered on? I have to remind my spirit that he is plenty, that he loves me, and I will praise him for it. Amen? The chorus of this song paints a dynamic contrast only because we know the story. Your promise still stands. Your promise still stands. Be Joshua for just a moment, okay? A promise that was given of a wonderful land of blessing. He saw it. He walked on it. He wanted to go in, and it was denied. He was pushed back out. He had to walk away and squabble in the wilderness for 40 years. The promise still standing, right? The promise still standing. And 40 years delay after he was in it. He was standing in it. He was on the land. He was there. He had to give it up, step away, and 40 years of waiting, 40 years of delay, of wandering around, wasting those moments. Now he's about to go in again, but Jericho, the invincible city, stands in their way. Stands is a great word, right? His promise still stands, and he says, your promise still, or he didn't say this, but hypothetically, your promise still stands as he looks at the wall that is standing in front of him. Your promise still stands, Lord. Regardless of what it looks like, regardless of how insurmountable the task is, your promise still stands. God promised to flatten it, but there it stood, a literal roadblock. But we sing about what we know, not about what we see. Pray through that just a second. We sing about what we know, not just about what we see. The Bible says we walk by faith and not just by sight. You're welcome to use your eyes every once in a while, but don't let it override your faith. Open your eyes every once in a while. It's safer that way. But don't let it override what you know about God. Your promise still stands. Not the wall still stands or the problem still stands. It's not about what you see. That's what 2 Corinthians 5:7. It's by faith, not by sight. So he says, your promise still stands. This is the chorus. Great is your faithfulness. Faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed me yet. 2 Corinthians 5 speaks of confidence. So does Hebrews chapter 11. It does it as well. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We are confident in those things. The substance, the tangible, grabbable, touchable. This is what faith is. It's the confidence that we have, the substance and the evidence that God's given us. NIV says it's sure and certain. We confide. We trust. We stand, like last week, on the rock that is Christ Jesus. Abraham, Moses, David, and Elijah did not have documented proof like you and I have. And yet they stood. Right? We've got time-tested, proven, doctrinal, literal, historical records of what God has done. And many of those guys were just going by what they'd heard and saw, but we have the truth written down for us so that we don't forget. Amen? We have that advantage. You and I have thousands of years of biblical records to point to. We have libraries of personal stories and recorded truth of God's faithfulness to those around us and even to us. We have our families and our own experience to agree along with it that God has never failed. And that line can trip us up, doesn't it? He's never failed me. If I judge him by my wish list, then I can say God's failed me, right? If I judge God by my wish list, Pastor Chad and I talked about this a little bit. If I say, God, I had this, this, and this on my list, and you failed me. If I'm going by my wish list, then I can say he's failed me, right? But if I go by what's really necessary, if I go by a trusting relationship of who he is and who I am, I recognize he's never failed me. In fact, by denying me my wish list, oftentimes he helped me out. Like the girl I didn't get. Glory to God. Right? That's comical, but it's truth. We can't judge him by our wish list because we don't know the best. It's kind of like your kid getting mad at you for not serving peanut butter and jelly or serving cookies for dinner. Molly's request yesterday was cookies. Cookie cake for dinner. I failed her. I said no. Now, is that legit on her side to say, Dad, you failed me? No, because I'm looking out for the best. I'm giving you the best option. Not just what you want all the time, but the best. Any parent in the room said, you better say amen. I understand that you shouldn't have gummy bears before dinner or a 2-liter Mountain Dew before you go to bed. As a parent, I understand this. You may not in the moment because I have information, I have insight that you don't have. Right? That's what God is saying. I have information, I have insight, I have perspective that you don't have. So we have to trust in Him because He's never failed us. And He never will. He loves me. Then the signature portion of the song, we'll wrap it up. The title push of the song begins to rise up as it's coming out, as we're singing through it. He says, I've seen you move the mountains, and I believe I'll see you do it again. You made a way where there's no way, and I believe I'll see you do it again. Matthew 17:20 says that Jesus said, faith as small as a mustard seed can move mountains. The best way for us to trust God's faithfulness for the future is to remember what He's done in the past. I've seen you move. You move mountains. Has anybody ever seen God move a mountain? In your life, let's call it that. And you're like, well, I've never actually seen, Pastor, the mountain is still there. Worship team, if you come up and help me out, we're going to close things up. You've seen moments in your life where God has done the impossible, where God has made a way where there was no way. My birth story, I've shared that with you guys before, but it was supposed to end in abortion or deformity or disability. But God moved that mountain. Didn't seem like a big deal to you, but it sure does to me. As an unaborted person, I'm pretty happy about it. The men that founded Convoy of Hope were robbed of their parents by an accident as they were children, leaving them hungry, hurting, and broken as kids in a family. But God moved that mountain in their life. He brought the church alongside them. They raised them up. And now those men are literally saving millions. Millions. That was supposed to destroy them, right? Satan took their family in a car accident, took their parents and left these orphan kids, and they were supposed to be a wreck because of it. But instead, God redeemed it. God moved the mountain, turned that around, and now those men are saving souls around the world, feeding hungry people around the world because God has turned it around for good. We've seen Him move mountains. The Bible is not fables and made-up tales. These are not likely stories. They are not allegories. This is truth. This is history and future. We cannot treat this as though it's just good ideas and nice principles. This stuff happened. There's never been any archaeological dig that has ever disproved anything that this word has claimed. It's never happened, and it never will. I hope they get really good at archaeology, Kent. I hope they get fantastic at carbon dating, because all they're ever going to do is prove this right. They're going to get better and better at making this evidence hold up even in court in the modern day, because it's truth. And we have to stand upon that. We've seen Him move. He's moved the mountains. He has done what nobody else can do. He's made a way where there was no way. These are true accounts of God moving the mountains, of God being faithful and fulfilling promises. Have confidence in Him today. He will not fail you. Cry on His shoulder. He will hold you. Do you believe this today, church? Let me give you a chance to respond. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior and you're experiencing the pains of life without Christ, I want you to know that there's a reason. It's because your life was made with a space that only Christ can fill. Your life was designed on principles that only Christ realizes. And if you give your life to Christ, if you ask forgiveness of your sins and begin to walk in a relationship with Jesus, you will see this thing turn around. You will experience life to the fullest. the scripture says. Outside of that, you're only going to borrow his principles every once in a while if something goes right, and you're going to also feel the pain of sin and death most of the time as relationships and things break down around you because you're living life the wrong way. I'm sorry. I don't want to sound like a know-it-all. It's just the truth. And all of us who have been saved from our sin can say, amen. God redeemed us all. And if you're here today, you say, Pastor Steve, I want to give my life to Christ today. I want forgiveness of my sins, and I want to see this thing turn around. I want to give my life to him today. If that's you, everybody bow your heads and close your eyes. I want to give you a chance of privacy here. If you're here today, you say, Pastor Steve, I want to give my life to Jesus. I need forgiveness of my sin. I want to begin a life that honors him. I want life in Jesus. If that's you today, would you raise your hand and I can pray with you? Anybody here? Make eye contact with me so we can pray with you. Anybody here? I need Jesus. I need forgiveness. I need you, Lord. All right, church, if you would stand with me, we're going to close out together, singing this song together. His promise still stands today. He will do it again and again and again and again. He will fill you with the Holy Spirit. He'll do that again in our students. Amen. He'll do that again in your life, not just the ones that are younger, but everybody in this room. He's not done yet. If you need to see him do it again, come pour your heart out to him this morning as we worship. This altar area is open. If you want to come sing and pray up here, that's great. If you want to stand where you are, that's great. But I want to challenge you, as we've dug into the content of this song, to relate with it, connect with it, and then pour it out as your prayer to God today, that we want to see God move amongst us again. Amen?
Pastor Steve invites you to respond to what you've just heard by putting it into action today. Thanks for listening.